I'm Mike Winters with A&W Cattle in Pattonville, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Finding sanctuary in the middle of the road. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, we'll bring you one rancher's story on responding to an approaching wildfire.
Members from the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party recently shared their thoughts with the House Committee on Agriculture on the danger China poses to U.S. Ag. I'm Jessica Domel, and we'll have that story coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The Agricultural Water Conservation Grants Program application deadline is in early April. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more on the application process and what the grants aim to improve straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Cotton prices have been volatile lately, with speculators briefly driving old crop cotton above the $1 mark. But when it comes to new crop cotton, Gary Adams with the National Cotton Council says all eyes are on Texas.
We always are going to watch what's happens with the Texas crop. There's such a significant portion of U.S. acreage is in Texas. They've come off 2 years of severe drought. Its parts of Texas have seen an improvement in moisture, particularly if you are south of Lubbock all the way down into South Texas. A lot of the panhandle, though, north of Lubbock, still very dry. They need more moisture to be able to get a crop this year. And again, it all does hinge on, we'll get the crop planted, but it'll hinge on June, July, and August in terms of what happens with moisture in Texas and in the Southwest in general.
Adams says cotton demand has seen an uptick recently, but it will all depend on the health of the economy going forward. Texas honey production fell last year.
According to a new report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, there were 111,000 honey-producing colonies in Texas in 2023. That's down 46,000 colonies from 2022. Those colonies produced an average of 53 pounds. 2023 honey production in Texas is estimated at 3.88 million pounds, down 4.4 million pounds from 2022. There were an estimated 505,000 pounds of honey in stocks as of December 15th. That's up 339,000 from the same time in 2022. The value of Texas honey production in 2023 is estimated at $11.694 million, down from $27 million in 2022. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Planters have been rolling for quite a while now in Central and South Texas, but farmers in the Panhandle are still waiting for temperatures to warm up. Scott Strawn is the county AgriLife agent in Ocholtree County.
Looking real promising with the drier weather. They've been able to get out and do a lot of pre-plant activities, whether it's tillage, spraying, and I expect, especially in the irrigated crops, corn and cotton to go in great. And so we're looking forward to that. And most of our sorghum will go in dry land, and that usually happens in June. So we still have some time on that sorghum, but they've been able to get out and get the pre-plant activity going. And so it looks really good.
Strawn says wheat in the Northeast Panhandle is looking great this year. There are many stories about ranchers who survived the Panhandle wildfires. James Hunt talked to one of those ranchers to get his take on how he made it through a very bad situation.
I felt like it was the Lord leading me to do this. That's one of my goals in life, is to pay attention to what the Lord's telling me, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing.
That's rancher Donald Hill describing how he was being guided as he guided his cattle to safety during the recent Texas Panhandle wildfires. Hill says as fire moved onto his Roberts County ranch, he was able to move his animals away from the tall grass and into the road where he provided them with nourishment.
It's cleachy roads out there. We got oil field and stuff runs through us. And so the first bunch I fed was right in the middle of the county road, the main county road. And I fed them there and then run to the next bunch and fed them in a lease road up there. And so just feeding them in that because I knew the grass, the way it's been this last year, we've had more rainfall than we've ever had, in, I think, in history. And so we had a lot of things out there to burn. And so I knew that was going to be the safest place to feed and just to get them out of that. And when you're calving, it's hard to get a bunch of baby calves to follow you. But for that day, they did. And I just felt like, again, that was the Lord.
In the end, Hill says maneuvering his animals allowed his herd to escape with only minimal losses, saving all of his mama cows, although a few calves were lost. Now, as he moves forward, he's grateful for the assistance he and his fellow ranchers are receiving.
I've been very, very fortunate with the way the United States and Canada has reached out to us. We've actually got hay trucks in out of Canada coming out to the place and dropping his hay and stuff.
Once again, that was Donald Hill, who ranches in Roberts County. Donations for wildfire relief are still needed. For more information, go to texasfarmbureau.org. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
China's threat to U.S. agriculture was the topic of a recent hearing in Congress. Jessica Domel has more.
Foreign ownership of U.S. agricultural lands continues to be a hot topic on Capitol Hill. During a hearing on the dangers the Chinese Communist Party poses to U.S. agriculture, hosted by the House Committee on Agriculture, South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem said China now owns about 384,000 acres of land in the United States. Mike Gallagher, chairman of the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, said those are only the acquisitions that we know about, and expressed concern with land purchases near military installations.
There could be much more because, as you all know, the federal oversight system for reporting foreign ownership is alarmingly lax, and enforcement is very minimal. For example, the governor referenced the issue with the Fufeng Group, which attempted to purchase land close to Grand Forks Air Force Base in the other Dakota in 2021. They did not report the purchase to USDA until the U.S. media started asking questions about it. That's unacceptable.
Gallagher said there are several problems. He said the U.S. government has no way of tracking land purchases by foreign adversaries, and the Committee on Foreign Investments in the U.S. has no jurisdiction, even if it finds a problematic transaction. He recommended giving the Committee on Foreign Investments the resources it needs to make sure the U.S.'s adversaries cannot buy land near critical infrastructure and military bases. Raz Krishnamurti, ranking member on the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, said it is important that as Congress seeks to address these issues, it is important not to make the cure worse than the disease.
Some purported solutions have had very real and harmful effects on the Asian American community as well. Dozens of bills across the country, for instance, target Chinese nationals regardless of whether they are affiliated with the CCP and regardless of the proximity of their land acquisitions to sensitive sites.
He pointed to a bill in Florida that prohibits Chinese nationals from purchasing real property.
This law had a serious negative impact on the Asian American community. I'll just give you one example. There's a case of Zeming Zhu, a political asylee living in Florida who was persecuted by the CCP and who fled to the United States. He was beginning to rebuild his life in Florida. Since the passage of SB 264, Mr. Zhu was forced to cancel the contract for the purchase of what was otherwise going to be his new home in his new country. The lesson here is very clear. When land purchase bills target individuals who are merely Chinese immigrants, they often target those outside of the intended audience.
Those comments were from the House Ag Committee hearing on Wednesday. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
The deadline for agricultural water conservation grant applications is coming up soon. Tom Nicoletti has the details.
April 3rd at 2 p.m. is the deadline for eligible political subdivisions and state agencies to submit applications to the Texas Water Development Board regarding fiscal year 2024 agricultural water conservation grants. For more information and submission of applications, go to the TWDB website at www.twdb.texas.gov. The Agricultural Water Conservation Grants Program offers grants for projects that support agricultural irrigation conservation strategies in alignment with the state water plan and demonstrate agricultural water conservation best management practices. Projects that receive grants must adhere to the Texas Administrative Code Title 31, Section 367. Some examples of previously awarded grants address water savings approaches, such as irrigation systems improvements, demonstrations and technology transfer, and equipment cost share. Here is Antonio Delgado with the Texas Water Development Board.
One of the most popular is obviously the irrigation metering and monitoring. So in order to conserve water, you have to know how much water you're putting out already. Other improvements include irrigation conveyance systems. So, you know, we have irrigation canals that might be leaking, or pivot system improvements, you know, putting their pivot package. We've also done, you know, demonstration of, you know, new and upcoming technologies, you know, regenerative agriculture, soil health.
The TWDB will host an informational webinar on Wednesday, March 27th from 11 a.m. to noon. To register, go to the agency's website. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Soil acidity is caused by various environmental, climatic, and cultural factors. We will talk about why soil pH is critical for forage production. I'm Dr. Vanessa Olson from Overton.
And weaning is stressful for sheep and goats. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has some weaning tips coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
Soil acidity is caused by several things. Forage specialist Dr. Vanessa Olson talks about why soil pH is so important for forage production.
Soil acidity reduces plant nutrient availability and increases aluminum and manganese toxicities. As pH drops below 5.5, the concentration of soluble aluminum increases and becomes toxic to plant root growth. Below pH of 5.2, the concentration of manganese also increases and can become toxic. Optimum nutrient uptake by most crops occurs at a soil pH near 7. Some plants are more sensitive to acid soil conditions than others. It is important to understand which species are more sensitive to soil acidity, so limestone inputs may be made at the appropriate time. For specific crop recommendations, contact your local county extension agent. The availability of fertilizer nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium generally is reduced as soil pH decreases. Reduced fertilizer use efficiency and crop performance can be expected when soil acidity is not properly controlled. Timely soil sampling is important because limestone requires both soil moisture and time to neutralize soil acidity. Early sampling and limestone application several months in advance of crop growth provide time for pH adjustment. Soil pH fluctuates during the year, becoming lowest in the fall, in part because of fertilizer applications and plant removal. Under intense grass production using high rates of nitrogen fertilizer, sandy soils will rapidly increase in acidity. Soil pH should be routinely monitored as part of annual soil testing to determine crop nutrient needs. The Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services Soil, Water, and Forage Testing Laboratory in College Station evaluates soil pH and provides a limestone recommendation, where appropriate, as part of a routine soil test. This is Dr. Vanessa Olson with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension in Overton.
For Texas Ag Today.
Weaning is a stressful time for sheep and goats. Dr. Bob Judd has some tips on making weaning a bit less stressful.
Dr. Melanie Barkley with Penn State Extension indicates in the Shepherd publication that weaning practices for lambs should start at least 2 weeks prior to the actual weaning process. Lambs should be started on some sort of solid feed 2 weeks prior to weaning, so they will be familiar with eating solid feed at the time of weaning. Also, they need to be accustomed to drinking on their own, since a lot of the fluid they receive while nursing is through the milk, and this will no longer be available. Lots of producers prefer early weaning as lambs grow more efficiently being fed directly versus feeding the ewe and getting nutrition to the lamb by nursing. Early weaning usually occurs at 60 days and works well as long as the lamb is 45 pounds. Milk production of the ewe increases until about 4 weeks after parturition and then starts declining, so lambs should start being fed solid food at that point. Some producers prefer to wean later at 4 to 6 months, and this decreases stress on the ewes and lambs. Prior to weaning, remove all grain from the ewes' diet and switch to a low-quality hay, which will decrease energy and protein in the diet and decrease milk production. Lambs should have all vaccines, castration, deworming, and tagging 2 weeks prior to weaning to decrease stress. If this is not done, weaning should be done, and then the medical procedures performed 4 weeks after weaning once the lambs have adjusted and are eating and drinking. Another method of reducing stress is to move the ewes for weaning rather than moving the lambs and allowing the lambs to remain in the same pen. Keep ewes on low-quality hay until their udders begin to shrink and then dry up. Check the udders after weaning for signs of mastitis, including exceptional swelling or redness.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Friday. Cattle headed lower from the get-go Friday morning, stayed that way all day long. We saw triple-digit drops in both live and feeder cattle. April live cattle down 87, 187.50. June down $1.60, 182.90. With August down $1.77, 181.50. Feeder cattle taking an even bigger drop. Nearby March feeders down 92 cents, 249.95. April down 312, closing at 251.50, while May was down 430, 253.77. Cash-fed cattle sales wrapping up the week, selling cattle here in the Southern Plains at 188. That's $2 higher than the previous week. In the North, we saw live sales at 190 to 191.5. Dressed sales mostly at 303. That's $2 to $3 higher. Boxed beef was mixed on Friday. Choice down 218, 311.55. Select up 99 cents, 304.72. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Madison Bexley and her family, along with their partners, own and operate Lockhart Livestock. They're in Lockhart, Texas. They sell every Thursday. Madison, how was this last Thursday sale?
We had a good day. We ended up with 999 a head cattle with 191 cows and 37 bulls, 167 sellers, and 99 buyers.
Walk the pens with us.
On the stocker cows, we got along real good this week. The good pairs brought from 18 to 2,400. The mediocre and middle-aged pairs from 13 to 1,775. The good bred cows from 15 to 1,950. The mediocre, middle-aged, and shortbred cows from 11 to 1,475. The longhorn and the planter cows from 7.25 to 1,075. On the packer cows and bulls, they would have been higher than a week ago. The good high yielding cows from $1.27 to $1.42. Medium yielding cows from $1.18 to $1.26. Low yielding and lightweight cows from $0.82 to $1.17. Good high yielding bulls from $1.47 to $1.59.5. The low, medium, and lightweight bulls from $1.25 to $1.46. And on the calves and yearlings, they sold extremely good with most classes higher than a week ago on a good active market. We had a lot of really good quality calves this week, and that for sure helped. All in all, it was a real good day.
Well, we'll hope you have another one next Thursday. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Madison.
You can always check us out on Facebook, or you can call the barn at 512-398-3476, my cell phone at 979-540-9793, or you can ring Bob at 512-461-6091.
Thank you for the call, Madison.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Madison Bexley for being our guest today on Walking the Pens, Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. You're my neighbor. Neighbor, good day to you.
Thank you, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Lean hogs finish mixed. April hogs down 32 cents, 84.57. May hogs up 50 cents at 90.40. Class 3 milk was mixed. Nearby March milk up a penny, 16.42 a hundredweight, with April milk down 11, 15.63 a hundred. Cotton finish mixed. Old crop lower, new crop higher. Traders starting to look forward to Thursday's USDA prospective plantings report. The last cotton acreage estimate we had from USDA was from the Outlook Forum in February, where they estimated plantings this year at 11 million acres even. May cotton finishing 68 points lower, 91.53. July cotton down 41, 91.85. New crop December cotton up 3 at 83.95. Corn continues to trade in a sideways pattern. Most of the news over the past week has been traders watching the South American corn crop, waiting to see how Brazil's Safrina crop will come out. The forecast calling for wet weather in central Brazil over the next 10 days. May corn down 1.5, 439 and a quarter. July corn down 2, 452 a bushel, with September corn down 1.5 at 461 and three quarters. Wheat market has been bouncing back and forth over the past several sessions. We finished higher on Friday. May Kansas City wheat up 8 3/4, 590 1/2. New crop July up 9 1/4, 584 3/4. Soft wheat in Chicago, July contract up 7 1/2, 569 1/2. In the energy markets, April natural gas was down 2 cents at $1.65. May West Texas crude down 18 at $80.89 a barrel. The financial markets were mixed Friday afternoon. The Dow down 305 points, 39,475. The NASDAQ up 26, 16,428. With the S&P down 7, 5,234. That wraps up our look at the markets. And that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.